Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. Good evening. John Suntress here. Tonight, we take a trip to Gotham City and go one-on-one with artist Jeremy Hahn. We're going to be talking a lot about the Batman universe. Jeremy, a participant, he does the art for Mark Andrako's Manhunter, the co-feature of Streets of Gotham, and he just finished up a mini-series with David Hein, Arkham Reborn. You may remember their Arkham Asylum one-shot that fell out of Battle for the Cowl. Well, a lot of plot threads that started back then will be wrapping up in the next two issues of Detective Comics. Hein doing the writing, Hahn doing the art. We'll be talking about those stories and more. Plus, Jeremy talks about his series from Top Cow called Berserker. And he's got a sketchbook that he'll be taking around with the convention season upon us. Details on that, and if you're interested, how you can pick up a very exclusive edition of Jeremy's sketchbook. All that coming up on this edition of Word Balloon, brought to you by the folks at C2E2, the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, coming to downtown Chicago April 16th through the 18th. But right now, let's move to our conversation with Jeremy Hahn on this edition of Word Balloon.
I want to start first with all of your Gotham work. I associate your art, and I know you've done a lot of superhero work, but a lot of your early stuff, like Desperados and some of the earlier stuff, I always more associate with regular people. And I can't help but think that, although the people in the Arkham miniseries certainly weren't regular, but Manhunter and working in Gotham City in general, I think, affords you the chance to draw real people and civilians, I think, more than maybe some other comic books would.
Oh, yeah, the Penguin and Two-Face, they're really...
I want to talk about the Bat-villains, too, but honestly, no, I mean...
The regular people. I mean, it's interesting, because in my career, I think, on some levels, I've been stuck sometimes drawing the more mundane stuff, the slice of life kind of stuff, or history-based or whatever it is. But I enjoy that, too. I think that, if your characterization's good, if you're, focusing on characterization and storytelling, the little bits of business that people do, that's sometimes the more exciting stuff. I mean, you can only draw somebody punching somebody so many ways.
Right.
Doesn't mean I don't enjoy that, but, still.
They're not mundane characters. Kate Spencer is
right.
A very specific person. And,
oh, absolutely.
And that, I'd say that for a lot of the members of the Gotham Force. You get to draw Gordon, obviously, as well. And again, even the characters of Arkham Reborn, with their emotional and psychological baggage and stuff, they are different types than the clean-cut people that sometimes litter the background of comic books.
Oh, yeah. Getting to draw characters like Arkham and Gordon and Harvey Bullock, those kind of, they all have very distinct, interesting looks anyway, but there's so much history there, and so many, I want to do right by these characters. I think anytime that something comes off as too generic, or we owe it to the readers to not make it boring, and that's why I try to make it as interesting as possible.
How much room is there, though, for some of these stock Batman villains like Killer Croc, Two-Face, the Penguin? Is there enough room for you to put your own stamp on it, as well as adhering to, the general look?
Well, I think everybody kind of does. For instance, people draw on the Joker. You get, like, the really hyper-extreme chin or Two-Face where, the scarring is, just kind of where you start to see bone and stuff underneath. And there's been takes, that go in all directions. Killer Croc, has had a widely, widely different look, over the years, and
definitely.
I think that I just try to go in and kind of pick out the key moments and maybe like the elements that are a through line for the characters, and then just try to interpret it in my way. Honestly, DC, my editors at DC have been great about it. They've been very, very just encouraging. They like the direction I go with things. And again, taking it back to the realistic feel, I try to take these freaks, for lack of a better word, and infuse a little bit of a reality to it. Always take it through the what does somebody that's had half their face burned look like? What is, and give it a good feel. The stays consistent and looks realistic.
Let's talk about the two writers that you're working with, because I think in David Hein and Mark Andrako, they are guys that bubble under the top 10, but I think are very distinct writers, and they both have great bodies of work behind them and continue to do good work today. But they work in similar circles, obviously, both working in Bat Books now, but I think they're different. How are they in terms of doing their art? What are the differences? What are the similarities?
Well, I mean, one of the really cool things, differences that stands out right away is Mark writes, I get plots, almost like the Marvel style with Mark, and that's something that I really haven't had much of a chance to do, and I really enjoy doing it. You have to kind of take things in a completely different, you know, it's such a completely different way of thinking, but it's a lot of fun.
You know, does he give you a page then, or say like this has to happen on the page, and not really tell you how many panels are on the page?
There's page one, page two, it's broken into about pages, but they really aren't panel by panel breaks.
Okay.
I mean, in an interesting way, I always feel like almost each sentence of the page one paragraph you can kind of interpret as one panel, sometimes two, sometimes a couple sentences, describe one thing. But and he does say, this is a splash page or whatever. If there is necessary direction in there, he adds it.
Okay.
But otherwise, he trusts the work that his artists do, and I think it yields some really interesting things. It gives you a lot of freedom, because on one hand, you work with writers sometimes where they don't necessarily understand staging. You'll have somebody that walks into a room, turns on a light, sits on a coffee cup, and is sitting down all in the same panel, or you'll have a damn fight scene that's, it's like 15 panels long and there's 7 characters in each panel or something like that. I'm not George Perez. by a long shot. But so really it kind of lets me set my own pace and my own direction and look for things. And David, on the other hand, he's very descriptive to a point. He's not intrusive as a writer, which is something I really appreciate. Most guys are this way. They don't break things down to the point where they're thumbnailing things out for me or forcing me to deal with their exact camera angle or one of the mistakes I think that a lot of early writers make is they start Batman's left hand is reaching out and they start it gets confusing after a little while. You realize that the person you're working with has a visual sense of things, and if you set the stage, you can kind of allow them and trust them to do what they do. And so, David does a wonderful job of giving the exact amount of information that I need without going overboard and cluttering things.
This arc that's coming up in Detective, it's two parts,
right?
And in some ways will finish up the story that you were telling in Arkham Reborn?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, on one hand, it stands on its own. It continues what's been going on in Batman and Detective lately. But at the same time, it does follow through on the stuff that we set up in Battle for the Cowl, Arkham Asylum, and Arkham Reborn. It wraps up a lot of loose ends that we kind of had there, and we hoped that we would get to. It kind of works both ways.
And how has it been drawing Batman? I think they've done a very good job of giving us a lot of Dick Grayson and Damian in the costumes in a very short period of time, because I know everyone, and certainly it's already been announced that Grant is going to start writing the time travel trip that will eventually get Bruce back to the modern age. But it really has only been a year. Much like Bucky and Steve Rogers with Captain America, I think people are enjoying seeing Dick as Batman and don't necessarily want to give that up right away either. So tell me, as an artist, how's it been drawing Dick? Drawing Dick.
well, in my experience drawing Dick.
Have?
I really enjoy it. I mean, it's a, as an artist, you work so hard to try to figure out what your take on a character is. With Bruce, I draw him, a lot bulkier, I think. He has almost, somewhere between a pretty big, you know, light heavyweight kind of boxer build or a a gymnast build. So I imagine, you know, Bruce being a little bit bigger. And as Frank Quitely set up in Batman and Robin, you know, Dick as Batman is a little leaner. He's a little thinner. You know, I probably don't draw him quite as thin as Frank does in the Batman and Robin books, but he's definitely a thinner Batman than I would draw if it was Bruce.
And he smiles more.
Yeah, exactly. He's having a little bit better time. He likes what he's doing.
That's cool. And it's great because, again, I think it's a different kind of Batman, which, you know, I mean, I go back far enough that I remember Bruce Wayne being a smiling Batman as well, and not losing much of his Dark Knight credibility when he was doing it. But I can appreciate, you know, being the brooding Batman and stuff. But the great thing is you really can see the difference in the Dick Grayson Batman as opposed to the Bruce Wayne Batman, not just from the Nightwing-esque belt, but really just, you know, his attitude and the way his body moves when he's swinging or when he's punching and when he's in movement. He is more of an acrobat.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to make more of the acrobatic tumbles and stuff like that, you know, and a little bit of flourish to what he does. He's also going to be the Batman that you know, when the cute girl says thank you, he's going to turn around and smile a little more, you know.
It's like he's finally, you know, I remember too, back in the early 90s, they did Prodigal, which was that story after the Night Quest and Nightfall, after Bruce's back was snapped by Bane and it was repaired again. He didn't put the cowl on right away. He let Dick be Batman. But it really was only for the one arc. And also,
right,
it was something that I think Grant and Frank kind of addressed, obviously, in that first Batman and Robin arc, as well as Judd Winnick, too, in terms of the heaviness of the responsibility of putting it on. Tony Daniel, too, in Battle for the Cowl. And am I ready for this? But like I say, I mean, this is a guy who finally has been given the keys to the sports car and can really enjoy being Batman once he's gotten, you know, used to the responsibility of the mantle.
Right.
I mean, he's able to, yeah, have fun with being Batman.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting, too, though, at the same time, you know, it's you almost get this feeling occasionally that he's having to pull himself back a little bit. You know, he still has to be Batman. You know, he still has to be serious at the right times and stuff like that.
It's, sure.
You know, you don't want people really realizing that it's a different guy. So it's fun to play with.
And it's been fun to see, too, in the stories that you're writing, his interactions with Two-Face, because that is something that, you know, I love that they play with, the fact that, you know, Dick can't stand him. You know, and you know, he's a guy that never gave him respect ever as Robin. And, you know, now he's the man. And it really is fun to see them, you know, play with each other. And does Two-Face really know that it's not Bruce or not? I mean, he goes back with Batman literally to year one. So, yeah, I think that's a neat little wrinkle to the dynamic between those two characters.
Absolutely.
Let's take a moment from the interview and give me a chance to tell you a little bit about C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, coming April 16th through the 18th to downtown Chicago. The first time in over two decades that a national comics and entertainment convention has come to downtown Chicago. Join thousands of comic book fans, creators, and celebrities for a weekend of fun and excitement in the Windy City. Special guests for this year's show include Alex Ross, Jeff Smith, Jeff Johns, Mike Mignola, Ethan Van Sciver, Ben Templesmith, and hundreds more of your favorite creators. Tickets are only $25 for a one-day pass and $50 for the entire weekend. For a full list of guests, events, and how to purchase tickets, make sure you visit c2e2.com. But wait, there's more. If you go to c2e2.com/wordballoon, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets and exclusive C2E2 merchandise before the big weekend. We're giving away one amazing VIP package, 3 weekend passes, 5 exclusive C2E2 posters signed by creator and guest of honor Alex Ross, and 15 limited edition C2E2 t-shirts. Entering the contest is easy. Just go to c2e2.com/wordballoon and enter your name and email. That's all it takes. We'll be drawing winners from all the entries on March 19th. And that VIP grand prize includes a weekend pass and also lunch with a Marvel editor. It's going to be really nice. So you'll want to enter. Once again, it's c2e2.com/wordballoon. And all you have to do to enter is put in your name and email address. Again, we'll be drawing winners on March 19th. Stay tuned for more exciting news about the official C2E2 after party plans, including our farewell to our friends at Around Comics. Plus, more ways to win tickets and exclusive merchandise. You can follow C2E2 on Twitter.
Well, tell me about Manhunter. How is the collection going to be traded?
I think because it's done as, you know, 9 to 10 page second feature stories, it's going to be, I think it's going to be like 13 or so. It's going to be, you know, his kind of grand story there, all as one chunk. I mean, there is a through line from the first issue of the second feature stuff, and I think it's going to go all the way through 13. It's going to be a nice size trade. I mean, it'll have a lot of fun stuff.
I feel for Mark because I do think introducing a new character, it's very funny. You know, fans will be the first to say, we want more new characters. And then you do create one, and I think that in designing Manhunter, and I've had Mark on before to talk about this, I think he was very careful and smart in terms of the way that the legacy of Manhunter passed to Kate, not only that, her own ties to the DCU beyond Manhunter with Iron Monroe and Al Pratt and everybody else. And then, you know, it does, as you say, there's a core group of fans that absolutely love this book, but also it's tough getting people excited about the character. And I think it was smart to put her in Gotham because she does fit in. And,
oh, she's a great fit for Gotham.
You know, yeah, and I even think, obviously, dealing with a trial with Two-Face, you know, only cements her place in Gotham more, and you've got that counterweight of the two, the former and the current district attorney, and, you know, Harvey can push her buttons in a way that other villains can't.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, I mean, reading the Manhunter series, even though she was in L.A., through that, she always kind of, she always, in a weird way, felt like a Gotham character. You know, she felt like one of those.
She's a street level city character. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and just I don't know, the fact that, you know, she, it's the suit, you know, and using what she has and her, you know, abilities. I mean, it is a great street level character, and bringing her to Gotham, I think, was just a great choice. You know, her being the DA there. You know, I've gotten to draw her in Arkham as well as Manhunter. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice just seeing these characters cross over and play around in the different books.
By the same token, Jeremiah Arkham appearing in the Manhunter story to verify that Harvey is capable of defending himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I kind of get a kick out of the fact that I feel a little bit territorial about Kate and Jeremiah both now. It seems like lately, a lot of times they pop up in different places. You know, I'm getting to draw them, and it's kind of fun.
Back to the detective story. What characters can you tell us will be in that story?
Well, we're going to see Batman. Batman's going to be a detective.
Which wasn't the case for the last year or so. So that's okay.
That's true. you know, I am really sorry to detective fans that love that one. I'm one too. I loved Rucka and J.H. Williams on the book. It's interesting. I do a really good job of not checking boards or, you know, anything like that. And every once in a while, I'll get on, and you know, it's funny the reaction. You know, like, oh, I'm done. It's done. If she's not in it, I'm done, you know, and even, you know, more kind of wanting us to be shot and stuff like that. But you know, I'm a fan of the book, and I'm looking forward to whatever happens with that woman in the next year. I think it's, you know, she's such a strong character, and they've got such a great handle on her. I trust that some awesome stuff's going to happen. You know, and we're trying to do something good with this. Back to the characters we're going to see, though. We're going to get to see Arkham, of course, and pretty much all of the characters that were set up in Arkham Reborn and the Battle for the Cowl thing. And, you know, so we'll get to see, you know, we should get to see the Beauties again and all that fun stuff.
There was a character that was introduced in Arkham Reborn right at the end. And that's the Jester.
Yeah.
And the Jester has got some link to the Joker, certainly resembles him in some way. And, you wonder if this is a personality aspect of the Joker, or is this a different character. You know, I mean, this is one of the...
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that kind of... We hated the idea of leaving hanging, and I'm glad that we get to wrap it up. We're definitely gonna let people know what's going on with that in the series. It'll be resolved. An interesting character, and you know, it's fun playing, you know, the similarities to the Joker, but taking it in, you know, more of the tri-tip hat that a Jester has, and kind of playing with that look, the little Jester staff thing that he has. I was drawing that again yesterday, and just really enjoying, you know, kind of the look of it. So, fun character, and we will tell you more soon.
Well, let's move on to Top Cow and Berserker. Where are we at in the story right now?
We are punching and hitting and ripping people apart.
Well, that started with issue one, but yeah, let's, you know.
No, we are actually wrapping up the miniseries now, and I think issue 5 should be out very soon, in the next couple of weeks, and definitely in the month of March, and issue 6 should follow hot on that one's heels. We're definitely going to give the people the fight they've been waiting for, so... should be pretty cool.
What are the plans for the character beyond the miniseries? I mean, is Milo Ventimiglia, of course, is the executive producer of the project, and you know,
right.
I mean, and I know he's been very open about saying that, you know, hey, this is a comic book first and foremost, and I want to make it a good comic book. But are there,
absolutely,
you know, are there plans? Are there thoughts of trying to take this to another medium?
Oh, I don't think anybody ever minds the idea of something being taken to another medium. I mean, if you know, I guess Alan Moore doesn't, but. You know,
yeah, there's one.
there's one. One thing that I can say about the series is, initially when they came to me and they said, "Hey, you know, this has got Hollywood ties and everything," I was very apprehensive. I have no problem with the idea of something moving on to other media. The problem that sometimes I have is if that's all it is, if people don't really, you know, if you don't give a damn about the comic book, you know, then what's the point at all? It's just a vehicle. And, you know, Milo and his production partner, Russ, are huge comic nerds, in the best sense of the term.
Sure.
You know, these guys want to make good comics, and if they get to cross over and be a video game or a movie or a TV series, all the better in the end. That'll just do more for the comic, but they're putting the love into the comic right now, and then, you know, whatever happens after that happens.
What's it been like? I mean, I know you've gotten to hang out with Milo at some signings. I mean, it's important, and I think he's been a real trooper, obviously, to be there when public appearances for the book, to support the book, are needed, and I know you've been, like, you know, on the Berserker tour,
right,
for, like, you know, yeah, over a year now, so, what's that been like?
It's great. I mean, you know, one thing that I can always say about Milo from the beginning is he is amazingly gracious to his fans, and that's really cool to see. I mean, you know, you never know. I mean, you never know what somebody's going to be like. You know, going into meeting somebody like that, you're like, are they going to be a colossal dick? You know, are they going to treat their fans badly? You know, Milo treats his fans with the love, you know, and respect that is it weird thing that comic creators do, I guess? It's that interpersonal relationship, you know, it's hard. You don't really get to often, you know, your favorite actor or whatever, you know, go up to their table at a convention and tell them how much you love them or berate them or whatever it is, you know, and he's very open to the fans and is happy to meet them, you know, meet them at the conventions and stuff like that, so it's really cool.
There have been other Hollywood people that have, you know, worked on comic book projects here and there, either put their likeness in the comic or added their name to a project. We're seeing it right now. In fact, Dead Space, Samuel L. Jackson is just, I think, this week, the first issue came out. Isn't it Dead Space?
Dead Space is a horror video game.
Isn't that?
Really?
Yeah, I think I want to say that. I know it's through Boom that Samuel L. is doing a comic book. Well, and, you know, I've seen other stars. But like I say, I mean, the one thing that I've been able to see at cons and stuff, and also watching him in interviews, I mean, Milo is right there, very proud of the fact that he's, you know, put this project together. And,
is
the first one to promote it very enthusiastically. And, you know, sometimes more so than I think the interviewer might have been ready to handle. I think back to that one episode of the Today Show when he was on in the fourth hour with Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda. And, it was fun to see him kind of have to backtrack and them ask, is it for kids? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely it's for kids. And then they're flipping through and they're like, well, wait a minute, look at all this blood and violence. It's not for kids. Uh-huh. Oh, no, it's definitely not for kids. No, you're right.
Oh, it's wonderful, yeah. He's you know, showing off my artwork and proud of it and everything like that. And then they're like, ew, ow, you know, it's hilarious because it's, I don't know, I'm friends with Tony Moore, the Walking Dead artist.
Sure.
And current on Franken Castle, Punisher stuff. And
yes.
So much wonderful stuff in between Fear Agent and all that.
Ghost Rider,
and,
Fear Agent,
you know,
sure.
Tony's known for drawing the gore a little bit. He, you know, he has drawn his share of nasty, nasty shit. And, you know, it's funny because for so long, you know, I was mainly doing, you know, like espionage stuff or, you know, period stuff and stuff like that, and suddenly, you know, I was like, Tony gets to draw the really gross horror stuff. I want to do something like that, and I'm getting my chance to draw some nasty, disturbing stuff, and it's so funny because it's like, it's just not my personality. I mean, I like horror movies and stuff like that, but I really wouldn't say that I'm a guy that, you know, sits alone in my dark basement, you know, surrounded by skulls and stuff like that. And,
like Tony.
Well, yeah, no, Tony's a, exactly, I just described his studio right there. It's interesting, you know, you always have to kind of think about how people are going to see your work, you know, if this is the only... This is the only thing somebody's been exposed to, whether it's your superhero stuff or whatever it is. And I always wonder, I'm like, people are really going to think I'm just twisted if they see Berserker. And, you know, that's okay, whatever. But it's kind of fun.
When it wraps up, we'll see what happens next. But good luck with it as it comes to a close.
Time to take a moment to talk about a great convention coming up, put on by our friends at InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. The Summit City Comic Con. It's coming May 22nd, a one-day show, $10 for admission, an intimate artist-focused show, and hosted at the Grand Wayne Center in downtown Fort Wayne. It's a beautiful convention house, and it's going to be a great convention. The guest list includes Art Balthazar, Mike Norton, Matt Kent, Tim Seeley, Robert Atkins, Nate Powell, Steve Bryant, Chris Burnham, Jim Rugg, Ryan Stegman, Katie Cook, Dave Wachter, and many more. Plus, there'll be publisher presence and involvement from Dark Horse, Boom, and Top Shelf. It's going to be a great day, and we hope to see you there. Word Balloon's going to be there. I know a bunch of other podcasters will as well. The Summit City Comic Con in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The one-day show is May 22nd, and it's only $10. It's going to be a great time. I hope to see you there at the Grand Wayne Center in downtown Fort Wayne, May 22nd.
We're heading into con season now. There's already a couple in the month of March, and then April goes full blast. What are your convention plans this year?
It's really kind of cool because the Kansas City area, we have Planet Comic Con coming up, and C2E2.
Cool.
Will be the one after that. And then, as long as I don't have another kid in the meantime or something like that, I'll be in San Diego this summer. So it'll be nice.
Very cool. And I understand that you've put together a sketchbook for convention season?
Yeah. I am actually... Well, it's... Oh, my God. It's more than a sketchbook at this point. It's... every year up until now, I've done a... Just like a ash can-style 30-page standard, you know, con sketchbook.
Sure.
You know, selling them for $10, you know. And you know, they've always been really well-received. And this year, after missing a year, I was like, well, do I do a double-sized version of that? Well, you know, I'm not sure what to do. And then I saw, you know, like the almost more of an art book that Scotty Young was doing, his junk book, and Nathan Fox had a really nice black and white softcover book that he did, and started seeing these. I was like, where are these guys doing these at? And so I started doing the research on that and kind of decided that I was maybe going to, rather than do, you know, a 60-page expanded sketchbook, I was going to do a perfect bound, you know, actual real book, and, you know, and actually have it just encompass all of my artwork over the past 10 years of working in comics, kind of from whenever I was trying to break in up to doing Paradigm, and you know, up until now. And it keeps growing. Every night, me and you know, whoever I'm working with that evening, I've got a couple of really helpful assistants that usually do, you know, all of my ink fills or scanning and computer, you know, doing computer stuff. And lately I've been forcing these people at Pencil Point to help me put together the sketchbook. And at first it was going to be 200 pages, and then it was going to be 300 pages, and now 350, 400
wow.
pages. So it's going to be ridiculous. Yeah, it's going to cover everything, like I said, from Paradigm on, and a lot of my process stuff, you know, like sorting out you'll see my thumbnails and my pencils and my inks. You'll see, you know, character designs, sketches, commissions, every, you know, doodles, little notes and whatnot, for the past 10 years. And you know, I realized the other day, as I was working on Detective, I hit my 1,500th page that I've drawn working in comics.
That's terrific.
And yeah, it's crazy. That's a lot of work. I really didn't realize that it had been that much. And, you know, on some levels, it doesn't feel like I've done a lot of stuff. And then I look back and I realize that I've had these really nice big chunks of, you know, 4 issues here, 6 issues here, 12 issues here, you know.
Absolutely. And a lot of work for the big two. And also really interesting, you know, work for Oni and IDW and Image and, you know, your own book that you did through Oni and The Leading yeah. Man as well, and the stuff with Clay, Battle Him, and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different genres, and I think a lot of really neat characters, and, you know, this is great, man.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's funny, the other day I actually got an email from a fan, and he was talking about, and he was enjoying Manhunter and never seen my work before. He basically said that he was enjoying what I was doing. I was new to the industry, and you know, I am a overnight new into the industry sensation, 10 years in the making. You know, it's kind of weird. It was nice to be. You know, he was very gracious and everything. And I pointed into other stuff, and he was like, "Oh, I'm going to pick that up." He was actually kind of surprised when I sent him to the comic book database, and then I was surprised, and that actually got me to counting up the pages and everything, and I mean, I'd done, but yeah, taking it back, because I'm such a rambler. The sketchbook, though, now, you know, so 350 to 400 pages, it's black and white interior, and it's called Portal, and, you know, Portal into the imagination, whatever, it, you know, kind of however you want to take it.
Got it.
I didn't want to seem too highbrow, because I'm willing to ask, but it's coming together really nicely, and I originally just planned on doing like a Crown Quattro size, which is like, you know, 7.5 by 9.5. It's, you know, slightly larger than Digest.
Okay.
And just doing like a black and white paperback. But then I mentioned on Twitter a couple places that I was thinking about doing it, and I immediately had a couple of people ask if I was going to do a hardcover version of it. And I really hadn't thought about it, and, you know, beyond just like, maybe I should do one for my kids or something like that. But, you know, like I said, a couple of people asked, and so I kind of put it out there and said, hey, you know, I'm also thinking about maybe doing a special edition hardcover version of the same thing. And immediately, within I think a week and a half, I had 17 pre-orders for the hardcover.
Fantastic.
Even before I've really shown anything or announced it formally or anything like that. So I was really surprised by it, you know, because while I'm a sketchbook hound and an art book hound, you know, I didn't really realize that there were that many people out there that were really into this sort of thing. And so like I said, the sketchbook, the paperback version is going to be probably the Crown Quattro size, the hardcover edition will be a special edition, and it's going to be 8.5 by 11, so it'll be larger, so you can see the artwork a little better, and again, in hardcover. And kind of what I'm doing, one thing that I wanted to make it a little special. You know, so many times, you know, people do a little sketch in it, or you know, whatever, and I love that. But I wanted to do something a little different. So, in addition to the larger size, I'm going to do like those little old Mickey tab, like scrapbook tabs for photos. I'm going to put in a 4x4 original sketch. If somebody pre-orders the hardcover through me, I'll actually do like an original sketch piece.
Wow.
In the book, yeah. Well, I like that. You know, I like that stuff, and it's the least I can do. I mean, if people are willing to drop, you know, $50 for, which I guess now for a $350 to $400 or 400-page sketchbook, that's probably a pretty good deal. But I think, but
yeah,
you know, I look at it like these people are interested enough in what I do, and I just want to, you know, kind of pay it forward a little bit.
That's terrific, man. You know, and yeah, I mean, that's what someone would normally pay for a sketch anyway. So, I mean, I think that's a hell of a value. So, congratulations. I think that's wonderful. And I will look forward to seeing the sketchbook when it's ready. And I will direct people to your blog on my website to keep tabs and everything and let people know when that's ready to roll. When will you have it ready by?
I am really shooting for Planet Comic Con KC. That's the end of the month.
Okay.
And the printer has a pretty fast turnaround time, and we've almost got it completely compiled right now. So we'll send it off, and hopefully we'll have it by then. If not, I will definitely have it for whatever the next one is, CTV2.
Okay, cool.
You know, and I'll bring, you know, I'll have it all throughout the summer, and yeah, I'll... I'm doing better at updating my blog, by the way. So I'll be posting that, something about that on my blog. People lately have been kind of, so are you going to actually update your blog twice this year?
I understand, man. If I didn't have Word Balloon, you know, weekly to post and everything, I struggle sometimes if I don't have a podcast episode, and I'm like, yeah, I should probably put something up there. So,
well, I just... Yeah, I just always have my, you know, I love these blogs by like Corey Walker and the new what's the group?
Oh, Comic Twart.
Yes. Okay. Look, seriously, that name. I love every single person on that, but that sounds like,
yeah,
something that a guy with a flipped collar and a backwards baseball cap is going to.
Hey, kid, want to see something? Come over here, Comic Twart.
Yeah.
Whoa. No, but you're right. I mean, not really. Chris Somney is over there.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Bryan is over there. Norton is there. You know, and
amazing guy.
Yeah. Tom Fowler is over there.
I look at it, and I'm equal parts just jazzed, you know, and want to draw more as soon as I see it, and then just terribly intimidated. You know. These guys are amazing, and they pick such fun stuff to do.
Oh, a couple weeks ago, G.I. Robot.
Oh, yeah. But you see the one that Mitch Brettwester did?
Yes.
That was amazing. Yeah.
And Fowler, too. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, and you know, they're not just sketches. I mean, Frank Avilia, oh, everything he does is finished. He can't help it. Same with Somni. And then Fowler, Fowler does full color ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crazy.
They are almost finished cover quality pieces.
Absolutely.
You know, Francesco, he does, I mean, he just does such, you know, designy, old school, noir kind of stuff. And, you know, all of these guys, they're brilliant. And I bust on the name, but, where I was going with that was just saying that, you know, there are so many great art blogs out there and these people that really make an effort to you know, update often, and they have great content. You know, Corey Walker, my God,
you bet.
Wondering kind, and he, you know, he is doing the daily sketch blog, and you know, I think to myself, I'm like, I should do a daily sketch blog, and then I realized it would go 3 days, and I'd be done. and in my defense, I do, I have my head down. I focus on, you know, trying to get the pages done and everything. And I don't do a lot of warm-up sketching. It's pretty much all on the board, you know, just as fast as I can do it. I think, working on so many books simultaneously and working as hard as I have over the past year, you know, it's been kind of crazy. And there's even stuff that people haven't that hasn't been announced yet. I'm working on a book, a horror thing with Colin Bunn.
Yes.
And I really, I shouldn't talk much about it, but it's something I've been working on lately, and it's a blast. You know, for anybody who hasn't read The Damned by Brian Hurt and Colin Bunn.
Absolutely, great book.
It the year that I read it, it was easily, you know, probably my favorite book that came out. It's just, you know, demons and crime noir in the same place. You know, it's kind of nice. You know, but Colin and I are working on this project, and it's a horror thing. I haven't really been able to do a lot of horror. I mean, Berserker has violence and gore and stuff in it, but really very little horror, true monster horror. And Colin and I are getting to take a stab at that, and it's going to take a little while. It's a book that's going to, you know, we're finishing it before we put the first issue out. With my schedule and you know, with so many creators out there, you know, it's like you do the day-to-day Marvel, DC stuff, and then, you know, more personal projects, you got to make sure that they're finished before you get them out there, so that you don't have the problem of, I've got to draw this arc of whatever, and then, you've got issue 1, 2, and then a year later you've got 3 and 4 or whatever it is.
Well, I'm very happy that you're doing this with Colin, so it'll be exciting to see when you are ready to talk about it, you come back and we'll do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Excellent, definitely. Man.
Yeah.
Well, I will thank you for hanging out. Am I missing anything? I don't want to brush you off if there's something else to chat about.
Oh, I think I'm gonna probably get back to this Starbucks coffee that I'm drinking. It's sludge now. So.
You're nuts, man. Jesus, I thought I drank coffee late. Holy cow! But you're gonna be up till 4.
I work overnight. So,
oh yeah.
So I'm just getting going. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
well, excellent. Looking forward to the 2 issues of Detective and continuing success on the Manhunter series backup as well. Second feature,
yeah.
Or co-feature,
yeah.
Excuse me, in Streets of Gotham and wrapping up Berserker. So we will see you on the con circuit with Portal and direct people on how to pick it up if they're interested. So thank you, Jeremy.
Well, thank you, John Hunters. I appreciate it.
Nice conversation with Jeremy Hahn. Always good to have him. I look forward to seeing him at C2E2. A couple show notes as we wrap up. I will not be attending WonderCon. I thought for sure I was going, but some car repairs came in the way, so unfortunately I won't be making the trip. I will be at C2E2. So many others will be as well. Make sure you stop by and say hello if you see me running around the floor. And also looking forward to the rest of convention season and more great interviews coming up on Word Balloon. I think we'll be releasing our convention guests one by one, as opposed to the big, convention jam episodes. Because I keep getting emails from people, why don't you ever interview Jim McCann about Hawkeye and Mockingbird? Did it last year at the FX Con. Why don't you ever talk to Arthur Soydum? Did it last year. These are the kind of convention interviews that sometimes you miss. Had a great conversation with Steve Rude. So many others. So instead of missing those, you'll get a chance to hear them one-on-one. So expect a lot of Word Balloon shorties coming up through the end of April as convention season rolls on. But that'll do it for this edition. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress reminding you that Word Balloon is all over the internet. Come to wordballoon.com for our full archive of shows. We've got almost 300 shows now of interviews of comic creators, filmmakers, animators, actors, directors, writers, you name it, all represented here on Word Balloon. Questions or comments about the show? Reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com, or ask it at the Word Balloon message board. There are several threads up there of recent episodes. Matt Fraction coming up in April on Word Balloon. Jeff Loeb coming up on Word Balloon, the Loeb Report, a new one coming up in the weeks ahead, and lots of other great episodes. Some really interesting people that haven't been on in a while, and newcomers as well to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Until next time, thanks for listening. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2010.